Let's read the love chapter together. You want to do that? I'm always waiting for one of these times the pastor said, would you like to do that to somebody else? No! All right, but don't do that. But let's read the love chapter together, okay? All 13 verses of 1 Corinthians 13 aloud, okay? Ready? Begin. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, endureth all, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. When I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see... Also, I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity. These three. But the greatest of these is charity. Let the church say amen. Father, bless the word of God. Cleanse me of sin and of self. And fill me with your spirit. In Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Let me give you this quickly tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Please understand, there's a lot of doctrine in chapter 12, chapter 13. We don't have time to deal with it. But suffice it to say, chapter 12 is not a commendation on the gift of tongues. It's a condemnation on the misuse. And for those of you that will go, if anyone tells you they speaking in tongues is for today, and they go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, go to chapter 12 with them. You will not be shot down by this proof text that they're using. Truth be told, the text that they are using to defend their position is the text that absolutely denies their position. But the premise in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, outside of the gift of tongues, was that people were more concerned about exalting themselves than they were about edifying other people. Let me say this. Being worried about yourself will always get you into sins and confusions you never intended to be a part of. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, they were standing up. They were showing off. They were exposing their own skills. They were putting their own talents on display. For those of us that understand and study the Word of God, we never believe even the purest sense of the gift of tongues was some gibberish or some non-true language. We've always believed that the gift of tongues in the Word of God is the word translated for languages. The word unknown in your King James Version of the Bible in italics because the translators put it in there to give us understanding. But in the original Greek, we understand that the word tongues was there itself as you look there in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, and you'll see unknown tongues. But notice in chapter 12, as many were speaking and coveting these gifts, we find here that there were schisms, therefore, in the body. We find there that there were divisions, therefore, in the body. By the way, chapter 12 is not just dealing with the gift of tongues. It's dealing with all of the sign gifts. And then chapter 14 speaks specifically about the gift of tongues. But it's amazing that it seems to be the primary gift that folks seek after. Nonetheless, Paul concludes this chapter and he says this. Obviously, the rhetorical questions, all are not prophets, 29, all are not teachers, all are not workers of miracles. Obviously, not all have the gift of healing. Not all can speak with tongues. Not all interpret. And by the way, this is in the apostolic age. We believe all those gifts have ceased for the day, and I'd be glad to talk with you about it privately another time. But nonetheless, even when these gifts were being executed, not everybody had them. But there was a more excellent way. Everybody couldn't heal. Everybody couldn't speak in tongues. Everybody couldn't interpret. Everybody couldn't perform miracles. Everybody couldn't teach. Everybody didn't have the gift of knowledge. But wait a minute now. Everybody could love. So covet the more earnest gifts. Covet the excellent gifts. Run after something that everybody can have. No doubt love is a more excellent way. He gets to chapter 13 and begins to catalog this chapter, this characteristic, in a way that we could take weeks to deal with, and maybe we will at some point. But tonight I want to focus on the one phrase in chapter 13, and it's the phrase that says, charity never fails. And just for a couple minutes tonight, I want to remind you that when all else fails, love never fails. When all else fails, love never fails. And maybe the problem in churches today, maybe the problem in homes today, maybe the problem in families today, maybe the problem in communities today is that everybody is trying to put on a gift that makes themselves look good instead of loving that helps somebody else. Tonight, for Crossroads Baptist Church, love never fails. Let me give you three quick principles tonight about love, and then we'll finish our service. First of all, love is superior. Love never fails. We don't have time to look at all of these, but listen, if I can speak with the tongues of angels and I have not charity, I'm sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. If I can prophesy and understand mysteries and have knowledge, if I got faith to move mountains, have not charity, I am nothing. If I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profited nothing. Listen to me, at the very top of the ladder, at the most noble of characteristics, my friend, is this issue of love. And sad to say, we got many believers that can sing well, they can preach well, they can teach well, they can study well, they can expound on scriptures well. My friend, you can do all those things well, but at the end of the day, if you don't know how to love, you're nothing. How's your love tonight? Love is superior. That means God places above everything. Colossians puts it like this. It is the bond of perfectness. Huh. Muse on that. The bond of perfectness. A bond is that which holds something together. Perfectness is speaking of maturity, completion, completeness in God. You say, Pastor, what's the next step in my Christian life? Charity is not the next step. Charity is the bond that holds all the steps together. I wish somebody would say amen. My teaching would be better if I love. My singing would be better if I love. My giving would be better if I love. Listen to me, my witnessing would be better if I love. My prayer life would be better if I love. Everything is worse if I don't know how to love. I'm saying every believer in Crossroads Baptist Church can think about this thing tonight because love is superior. Amen. There's a lot in here. We'll dive into it another time. But think about this one. Love is selfless. Oh, chapter 4 goes down to a bunch. We don't. But let's just look at them quickly. Suffereth long. And is kind. You know what? You know why you're not nice? Because you lack love. No. It's not because of the way you've been treated. It's not because you just had a bad day. It's not because that you just can't jive with somebody. It's because you don't love. And by the way, Romans chapter 5 said, hope maketh us not ashamed because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. Behold, what manner of love the Father bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Listen to me. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. The fruit of the Spirit is love. Suffering long. Hey, let me tell you something. You love somebody the right way. You put up with some stuff. I'm not talking about tolerating, condoning sin. I'm talking about letting patience have her perfect work in you, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. And if you lack wisdom, let it ask of God, which giveth all men liberally and abradeth not, and it shall be given him. You want to find a short-tempered person? Get you a good old-fashioned Christian. And it amazes me. We can't tolerate things in the body of Christ. We tolerate a whole lot of nonsense outside of the body. Church is selfish. Amen. And listen, you're kind. I wish I could get into all this stuff. Listen, you won't envy if you're selfless. You won't be worried about what somebody else has. Amen. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Listen to me, charity envieth not. You say, preacher, how can I learn to be satisfied with what God has given me? My friend, learn how to love. Vaunteth not itself. Charity doesn't put itself on display. By the way, love that you got to keep telling everybody you have ain't the real stuff. I wish somebody would say, man, if you got to keep broadcasting your love isn't the kind of love that God gave you. Amen. I'm glad you don't have to toot it and you don't have to flaunt it and you don't have to bumper sticker it. You don't have to tattoo it. Listen to me. If you love, it's in action. If you love, it's seen. If you love, it's demonstrated. And my friend, the reason why you can love on somebody is if you're not spending so much time loving on yourself. You're not puffed up. Cocky people don't love right. Arrogance is a love problem. Doth not behave itself unseemly. Amen. It's not inappropriate. Unseemly. Love will keep you acting right. You don't act unseemly, inappropriately, moody. What's that got to do with love? It's got everything to do with love. Amen. Charity never faileth. Seeketh not her own. Not always trying to get some. Easy, Pastor, easy. Okay. You know, you shouldn't always be the first to have everything. First in line. Amen. First dibs. First bag of chicken from Riley. First plate. Seeketh not her own. You know, when you love right, you're not worried about yourself. Love looks for opportunities to be a blessing to somebody. Oh, there's so much here. We got to dive into chapter 13 in another time. Think of no evil. Love doesn't have a dirty mind. By the way, not only a dirty mind, but love is not wishing ill on people. That's what it's in context, what it's talking about. Thinketh no evil. I hope you get what's coming to you. That's not love. That's foolishness. That's a natural man. That's the seed of Adam. That's devilish. Hellish. It's not love. Rejoiceth not in iniquity. Huh? Love doesn't keep records of when wrong is done. Amen. Rejoices in the truth. Love doesn't like to see someone mess up. I told you they were going to do that. That's not love. Selfless. Beareth all things. Listen to me. Excuses the faults of others. Believeth all things. Not always doubtful. Hopeth all things. Has a positive outlook and wishes the best for people. Endureth all things. Listen to me. It ought to be when you've got love. Paul said, Philippians chapter 3, if there be any virtue. Wait a minute. The verse typically is used in context to a runaway thought life. My brother, once you believe the true, honest, just, pure, lovely, good, reported to be in virtue, to be in grace, think on these things. But listen to me. Think in the context of other people. If the person has any virtue about them, and if the person has any praiseworthiness about them, then you ought to be thinking good about them. That's love. Lastly, I'm finished. Love is sustained. Love is superior. Love is selfless, and love is sustained. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, vanish away. Prophecies will cease. We know in part, we prophesy in part. Everything is going to eventually die. But love won't. Watch this. Look at me just a moment. When we get to heaven, there'll be no prophecy. When we get to heaven, there'll be no knowledge. There'll be no need for knowledge. When we get to heaven, watch this now. When we get to heaven, God will not execute his healing. You'll have a glorified body. Amen. When you get to heaven, will you pray? When you get to heaven, will God's grace be necessary? I'll tell you what will be in heaven. Love. Amen. We're going to live in love for eternity. Why? We're going to live with our Savior, and God is love. Amen. Love is superior. Greater love has no man in this man laid down his life for you. Love is selfless. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. What do you mean? Look at verse number 1. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind. Look at chapter 2. Let each esteem other better than himself. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Philippians chapter 2. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Thought it not robbery, the kenosis, Philippians chapter 2. What do you mean? What do you mean? Jesus said everything that he had as God the Son at the right hand of the throne of God. He didn't count it all cost. As good as heaven was, love made him willing to give it up. Made himself of no reputation. Made himself of no reputation. I'd like to ask you, you say you love somebody, you're willing to lose your reputation. I'm not talking about falling into sin. I'm talking about squander your image for love's sake. Made himself of no reputation. He took upon him the form of a servant. You call yourself a lover? Ask you, would you take on the form of a servant? My friend, you find my Savior, the creator of the universe, the one who took from the dust of the ground and shaped man and breathed into man's nostrils the breath of life. Colossians says, all things are created by him, and by him all things do consist. Now watch him washing Judas's feet. Made in the likeness of man, and he found fashion as a man, he humbled himself. Oh, what's the big deal? I'll tell you what the big deal is. You humble yourself when you're the God of the universe. It's a big deal. You know what it's telling me? That love is volitional. You know what that means? It's telling me that love is a choice. Amen. You know, it's most of the time in the Bible where the Bible tells us to be humble, it tells us to humble ourselves. Humble yourselves in the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt you in due time. Humble yourselves in the sight of God, and he will lift you up. Pray for me, Pastor. I need to be more humble. Well, humble yourself. Love is more excellent. Came obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God highly exalted him in the name of the Lord, every name of Jesus, every knee should bow, things in heaven, things on earth, things on the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God. Amen. And by the way, you keep reading that passage. He makes other things like statements like, do all things without murmurings and disputing. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. His God was working in you but the will and to do of his good pleasure. You know what? He could say that to the Philippian church because they weren't sitting on the throne of their own life. Love is sustained. Now about these three, faith, hope, and charity, but the greatest of these is charity. Love never fails. I asked you tonight. I should. No, don't dismiss it. I'm a loving person. No. How should I? Does your love match that of Jesus? Your love with your spouse, your love with your kids, your love with your fellow sisters and brothers in Christ. Your love for your enemies. Do you love your enemies? Well, Pastor, I don't know. I'll tell you whether or not you do. If you have a superior love, a selfless love, and a sustained love. There's a whole lot more in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. But you should be musing on it. Don't muse on the works of God. Muse on the limited works of yourself towards Him. And ask yourself, if I love Him, will I reach more people? Who do you love, lady? Love is action. The name just told us, we all know John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave. You want to define love? Hey, listen, you want a Bible word to be defined? Let the Bible define it. For God so loved the world that He, if you love me, keep my commandments. Greater love hath no man than this, and a man lay down his life for me. If you say we love Him, and we don't keep His commandments, you're alive. Now, you love God and you do for Him. Seems to me if you love people, you should be doing for them. Why? Because love never. Father, thank you for your blessed word. And I'm praying for every believer under the sound of my voice to consider doing better in this area of love. Speak to hearts for your glory and our good.